Welcome to the Minute of Eight Gang Podcast, episode 202. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Yeehaw, good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Is that a rockabilly kind of thing?
It is.
Yeah.
Hey, good on the genre there.
I love it, yeah.
And Phil Wilson.
Well, we know it's not skiffle.
Wait, whoa. What's skiffle? Is that a genre?
It's a genre, yes.
I've never heard of skiffle.
From the UK scene, little skiffle.
Oh.
You are one hippie dude.
No kidding.
Gave birth to some rock and roll early on. John Lennon, Paul McCartney.
I've heard that. Now that you say it, I've heard it. We can probably find that on Spotify then.
You probably can.
I'll have to go look.
Okay. All right. We'll look at it after.
That little skiffle sidestep.
yeah, tangent. Well, with my ADD and Alex's, my son's ADD, we're always going, and then squirrel, which is the old adage about being distracted by the squirrel that runs by. Anyway.
Ride bikes?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, gosh. So our pals at Twitter got hacked.
Now, wait a minute.
What?
This is sort of an epic thing, and we really need to talk about sort of the this could be on like celebrity ghost stories, because podcast number 202 is happening on
202. Coincidence or conspiracy? You're right. You're absolutely right.
Tinfoil hat time, huh, Steve?
There it's it.
Yeah. Well, I'm always looking over my shoulder because you just never know. Right. I'm not paranoid, but I'm wondering why these people are following me. Well, of course, we don't know if Skype is compromised. Yeah. Because there are actually people now.
Say hello to the Skype people right now.
Well, no, it'd be the NSA that would be siphoning off the. Of course, they're following Tim.
Right. So I see some drones circling outside.
Hello there, Mr. Spokes.
Oh, my God. There was a Nova about drones that was on just the other night, and it was very fascinating. But there's also a lot of things happening with little small drones that you can buy and put one of the $100 Go cameras in. What's it called? GoPro,
yeah.
Yeah. And people are doing that, and they're flying these things and, taking aerial shots of houses and stuff. And yeah. I'm thinking, hey,
I've always wanted to do that, but not for any nefarious activity, but I've always wanted to, when I got the flip camera, I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stick this on a balloon, and I'm going to tether that balloon. I'm going to put it up high, and then I'm going to take some video of the neighborhood, and I never got around to it. So,
yeah,
I think there's a lot easier, less costly ways of doing it than a GoPro. I think a GoPro might even be more like $150, but they're also kind of heavy. You can get little tiny lightweight cameras.
Right.
Because I remember asking the QFO Labs guys that did the Kickstarter quadcopter hand controller thing, and they can take a payload of up to so many grams. And I said, what can you do with that? And they go, you can put a video cam on it. Oh. And it was like, I don't know, it was something really tiny, like 10 or 15 grams or something like that, I think. I can't remember the exact spec. But yeah, it'd be fun. I had a friend out in San Clemente who had a buddy that did that on something, and he took the most awesome, aerial photography of San Onofre and the beaches. And I mean, it was just, mesmerizing to watch this thing, and he was tilting it and zooming, or what do you call it? Diving and climbing and, and it was like this panoramic view of the coast. And I thought, my God, I've never been able to see anything like that, And that was like, 2 years ago when I, so guys have been hacking at that for a long time.
Well, and the big thing with drones is that on this program, they're talking about how they could be at 35,000, no, not 35,000 feet, probably 5,000 feet. And you can't see them from the ground. And they can, take a photo of a driver's license if you were holding it out. And that's how they're targeting all these terrorists. And shooting at them and blowing them up and stuff. So
I hope that Nova show is rebroadcast soon, because I missed it. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
You'd probably buy it on iTunes.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Well, let's talk about, I think the biggest story this week was that the Twitter hacking thing, that 250,000 accounts were potentially compromised.
Yeah, 50% of us too.
Yeah, yeah. I had to go in and change my password today.
Yep.
And did you get a note? Did you get a note from Twitter? Is that what?
Yeah. I actually got three notes, and I'll put an image of one of the notes in my in the post.
It's only a matter of time then before we're all hacked because we're all connected to you guys.
Well,
that's wow.
Well, I think
one more reason not to hang out with you people.
Yeah, right. Well, actually, in all seriousness, I think it has more to do with people using apps now that have access to your Twitter account connected. Because I go in and I look and all these iOS-based accounts are connected. I had 40 connected accounts and probably half of those were through apps. And so, you know, if you download some miscellaneous app, then all of a sudden, if you pass your credentials, even if they're hashed, they can grab those hashed credentials and then work on them for a very long time until they can figure out the password.
So what you're saying is, and what you did, as I understand it, is you went into your Twitter settings and
password,
X'd out a bunch of those app authorizations. I did.
Yep. And you can do that right from your own Twitter page. There's a spot to do that. And then, because you know, there's some goofy apps that I downloaded that ended up being connected to my Twitter account, but then I changed it to I use LastPass, and so I've got a 16 character password, and thank God iOS, I only have to put it in one place, you know, I don't have to do it in, you know, 25 apps, so.
Yeah, so LastPass would be another recommendation, huh?
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes. LastPass, and then what's the other? Tim, you had, is it 1Password? Is that the other one?
Yeah, 1Password. I used to use that, but now I've converted everything to LastPass.
Oh, you have. What do you like better about LastPass? Because I love it, but I didn't use the other one.
Yeah, they supported more browsers and Android before 1Password did. So when I was all iOS, I just used 1Password, but more and more I go, you know, cross platform to various browsers and, you know, and they didn't whatever 1Password didn't support some of those things. And they didn't support Android until fairly recently. So I converted everything to LastPass about a year ago.
Okay. Okay.
Do they support all those Android versions? So
yeah.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. 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 So, yep. So it's, you know, it's a cloud-based service.
Well,
it's been a lifesaver for me. Of course, now, you know, I keep telling my wife that I'm going to have to, you know, here's the password for LastPass. Should I get hit by a bus or anything? Because, you know, all of our stuff is password protected. She can never remember the LastPass password. So.
Well, we're the same way. But actually, what I have is I have an encrypted disk image that we have a family passphrase, and I actually use the passphrase so everybody knows it. And it's a fairly long sentence, and so that works pretty well. But I got to tell
you that squirrel,
squirrel.
I'm kidding. Squirrel.
But in all seriousness, the cool thing about LastPass that I love is not only can you have, you know, you can generate passwords, you can even generate, you know, one-time passwords, all that kind of stuff, but you can have a secure note, and so I am given credentials from clients for a lot of these services that they have, and I put them in secure notes. And so I've got all their credentials in there. I don't have to worry about them getting ripped off, you know, or somebody discovering them and so on. Or if one of my machines gets compromised and now they're exposed. So I've got all this stuff locked down. I think it works great.
Well, that's interesting, but I have some breaking news.
What?
Uh-oh, breaking news.
Punxsutawney Phil predicts spring is coming.
That's not breaking news. That was like hours ago.
Well, it's Groundhog Day today. No one mentioned it.
I forgot it's Groundhog Day.
And they've already done the thing, and he's seen a shadow.
Wow.
I guess. Okay. What is it? That he sees the shadow, and then there's going to be spring is early, or is it the other way around?
I don't know. All I know is I like the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. That's the only context I have for Groundhog Day.
That is a very deep movie.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. No, I love it.
When you think about it.
I love it.
Have to watch that on Roku or something, huh?
Yeah, it's on, or used to be on the Netflix streaming.
Oh, okay.
You haven't seen that before, Graham?
You know, it's been so long, I can't remember if I did, but it's worth rewatching, especially on Groundhog Day.
There you go.
My favorite line: "Don't drive angry." Oh.
I'm watching a lot more Netflix streaming on my Retina iPad.
Yeah, oh, it's great.
You should watch that House of Cards show. It came out yesterday. It's excellent.
Yeah, don't spoil it now, because my wife's going to come home and we're going to watch it. She's traveling again. But
what, you're going to do like a binge watch 13 episodes at once?
Well, we might. You know, the sci-fi show Firefly that was out in 2002, I think. Mm-hmm. I had never, believe it or not, never had watched it.
Oh, come on.
Nope, I'd never watched it. No, I know. Well, hey. So then when I had the flu and I was basically in, you know, laying down for 2 days, I ended up watching all of them and the movie Serenity, which is the, you know, kind of the closure, and it was awesome. So I love doing that. You know, discovering a show and then watching 10 episodes in a row. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we do the same thing, but House of Cards. So we saw the first episode last night. It's really good.
Okay. I love Kevin Spacey.
Very, very, very well done.
And all 13 episodes are up there, right?
Yeah. I came out yesterday and they're all there. Just like, you know, every time you see anything on Netflix, you see the whole thing is out there. Although, I started the Star Trek, Voyager series, which I never really saw when it was on in the initial run. I saw an episode here or there. So I started getting into it, and they only have like the first 58 episodes. So I got to the end and it's like, well, wait a minute. It's, you know, it can't end like this.
Oh no.
And of course it didn't. So now I'm like 3 seasons into a 7-season show, and that's all I get.
Geez.
So I'm like, oh man.
Sorry, man.
So, oh well.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
I guess if I wait long enough, maybe it'll show up.
Yeah. Well, we got to get to tech here, boys.
Tomorrow, Netflix is tech. What are you talking
about? Yeah, I suppose. But tomorrow, there's...
And you want to talk about Amy Poehler.
No, I want to talk about... There's a football game tomorrow, right? Called the Bowl?
It's the big game.
Yeah, it's the big game.
The Brother Bowl.
Well, so...
The Bro Bowl.
This Lincoln... Bro Bowl. This Lincoln here that Best Buy teases the Amy Poehler Super Bowl ad. You know, this teasing the ads has become a really big deal.
No, well, posting
it's like
the ads,
everybody's doing it.
Yeah, a lot of them are leaked, and I've gone through a number of them, the full ads, and none of them strike me as being clever or really that funny or good.
Yeah.
I mean, even the ones that are purportedly, you know, the best of, they seem a little weak this year.
Huh.
Well,
although this Best Buy one, they released like a 13-second like teaser thing, and it actually looks like it might be pretty funny.
It's got to be funny. It's Amy Poehler.
Oh, they're not teasing the whole thing. They're just clips of it. Yeah, just a clip.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a teaser.
That's
clip.
What teasing means. So
it's
I guess
Amy Poehler has questions or something like that.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of teasing going on though with a lot of ads. I haven't seen the postings, Tim, of what you're talking about.
So yeah, I'll put some in the show notes. But just
hit Google Super Bowl ads 2013. Yeah. Boom, you'll be inundated with them.
I just saw a tweet this morning about GoDaddy is teasing one where some beautiful girl kisses a nerd.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Well, nerds are big now. Nerds are big.
They are.
Yeah.
It's where all the money is.
That's right.
Well, our pals at 8th Bridge did a deal with eBay's GSI Commerce. I thought this was kind of a big deal to create a partnership.
I bet you that's kind of lucrative, don't you think?
I would think.
Well, if it's not, it gives them credibility and, you know, a very large customer that they can point to. So yep. I thought it was a big deal.
Well, and
the whole
premise of this is GSI Commerce is really all about social commerce. And they are arguably the leader in a social commerce platform. And this really, I mean, this flings the door open to 8th Bridge and so many, you know, 500 clients and an estimated 1 billion shoppers. I think this is huge for them.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Yeah, really it sounds great. Like some of these clients are biggies, the NFL, Estee Lauder, Sports Authority, Bath and Body Works, Toys R Us, Levi's, Ralph Lauren, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. It's big, yeah. Well, so can I ask you guys a question that might sound odd, but, you know, I've been thinking about it within the context of social commerce.
Uh-huh.
And the only time that I will potentially buy a product from somebody recommending it is when I ask them directly. So I asked Jamie Thingelstead, who's the chief technology officer for 8th Bridge, some time ago. I sent him a note and just said, hey, I need to take all my domains out of Network Solutions. I hate those guys. Who do you use? Who would you recommend? And he told me about Namecheap.com. Huh. And a bunch of mine were coming up for re-ups, and with Network Solutions, it was like $370 to re-up all my domains. And Namecheap not only would do it for, I think, you know, $110, but they give me an extra year. And I switched everything to Namecheap, and it's been awesome. And so, you know, that to me is social commerce, except though that he's not overtly right. recommending them. He responded to a question, but I trust his judgment.
Right.
And do you guys do that? I mean, are there people that you connect with that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You're the man. I go to you more than I go to anybody. Are you kidding?
Yeah, same here.
You know, out and doing LastPass just because you just told me about it, and I should have known about it, and I should have done it a long time ago, but I'm on it now. And yeah. I'm really glad you brought this up, because my domain registrar just did me dirty. And it's Gandhi.net, which has been absolutely flawless for close to 10 years for me. They're en français, but they speak good English, so I forgive them being French. But do you know that they didn't? They start warning you at 60 days. Your domain is going to expire in 60 days. Then they give you a 30-day. Well, that was it. I totally forgot about it. It was right around Christmas. Do you know that my domain, TechSurfBlog, dropped off and was not directing to my TypePad blog, which really screws me up. And you know what they charge when one goes off like that? And it was like on the 31st day, you know, it was like January 31st. They want $130 to restore it.
Oh, geez.
And it's like, what? You know, I've been paying them like $15 a year for close to 10 years for that freaking thing. I'm not going to pay $130 to restore it. And they claim that, well, that's not our charges. That's what we have to, you know. So that's not us. That's somebody else.
So, Graham, hey, Graham?
Yeah.
Why don't you just put it on auto renewal?
Yeah. Well, I should, but I don't. I act, you know, when I get the emails usually, and, you know, sometimes I remind myself by putting it on my desktop that I have to renew something. But no, there are a number of domains that I own, some of which I don't want to renew. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but this one now, you know what it's done? It's caused me to, you know, Steve, I've been talking about getting rid of TypePad for a long time, like you did a long time ago, and just importing it all into WordPress.
I can help you.
And I know you can, and thank you, but I...
And it's so damned easy.
Well, yeah, there are some...
Not.
Well,
not.
There are some problems, right? But, but a few. I've been wanting to rebrand it anyway, but I figure, okay, well, I guess now I'm going to rebrand. You know, so... I should thank Gandhi for doing this, I guess. TechSurfBlog.com is not going to exist. Oh, and then you have to wait like 30 days to buy it somewhere else.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you could get the .xxx domain. I just did a quick search here at Namecheap, and it's available.
TechSurfBlog.
.xxx. There you go.
But anyway,
put that on your business card.
I'm glad to hear about Namecheap, because I may be checking them out, because I really don't like GoDaddy. I mean, and I really don't like it for the UI.
Well, the UI, but also the fact that what I really hate is that this is one of the things I hated about Network Solutions. If you want to go in and you want to flip one switch, you know, you want to check one box, you've got to go through a couple of upsell screens.
Oh, I hate that.
You know, it's all about shit they want to sell you. And I get so weary of that. I can't tell you.
Yeah, I'm done with GoDaddy. I've got a couple sitting there, but I won't put any more there.
Yeah.
So one social recommendation for me, Namecheap. Thank
there you,
Steve.
Go.
Thank you, Jamie Thingelstadt.
Well, that also brings up, you know, the Heroic website. And I know you mentioned this in our pre-cast discussion. So tell me, is anybody using Heroic here?
I haven't yet.
No, I haven't.
The guys, and I've been watching it, and this looks like their big beta launch that they've been working on really hard for many months now just went live. So that's cool.
Well, and the thing is, it's very Pinterest-like in terms of the way that it's laid out.
Yep.
And so on. And, you know, it's interesting because... The one thing that bothers me is not about social commerce is, I mean, this is cool. You know, the such and such is recommended by this particular person, and you don't know what's their motivation behind doing a recommendation.
Right.
And, you know, are they somehow tied to the company? Are they whatever? And just same thing when, you know, you go to a post that's the top 10 fill in the blank. And then down in the comments, there's all these people who say, there's one service you left off that I really love and here it is. And then you look at that person's name and you realize, it's the CEO of this company, you know, and it's like, he didn't say that. So I, in many ways, I feel like I need to know people before I'll take recommendations.
Yep. Yep. Well, this site really does look good. It's BeHeroic.com. Unfortunately, they can't own Heroic apparently, or they don't yet. But anyway, it looks like they've got something pretty cool here, and a lot more people will be using it now.
Well, I like the categorization. You know, yard stuff, home stuff, all the things that you know. Geez, I need a good plumber. You know, who do I find?
And I think they added maybe painters too. They were adding categories of stuff, or they'll keep adding them. It takes them a while to seed it with trusted, you know, providers. You know, it's sort of like an Angie's List kind of a thing, but much more modern, you know, style of doing things on the web with recommendations.
Yep.
And it's free.
Yeah.
And it's free.
Which is always good.
Right.
Well, this is interesting. I'm trying to create an account with them and I can't seem to do it.
So. Yeah, no, try it with Facebook. It actually does work after a couple of attempts.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I know. I think they need to work on that. But yeah, I had to try it a couple of times, but it finally did take. And now I'm inside and I'm looking at all these recommendations of all sorts of businesses across the Twin Cities by people that I have no idea who they are.
Yeah. So.
My personal friends.
You can find your actual friends, you know, Facebook friends on it too, which it looks like I should probably do.
See, I always hate signing in with Facebook or Twitter or any of those other. I don't like to necessarily link the accounts together. So,
well, it uses OAuth. So, I mean, it's pretty secure.
Come on, go with it.
So, yeah, come on, Phil. I mean, you got to lighten up, buddy. Come on. 21st century, pal.
Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it.
Let's get with it.
live in the now.
Okay. So one of our favorite, and I got to find out from you, Phil, if he's going to be at Mobile March, but Aaron Cardell, he's expanding at the Grain Exchange with mobile realty apps and the thing that I love about Aaron Cardell is he just keeps going. You know, they did Deals By, iGarage Sale, and now mobile realty apps. I mean, he just keeps going, and he's gonna hit one. You know, landing this deal with Edina Realty, this is a big deal, I think.
Oh, it's, you know, Aaron is a very gifted developer and a very smart business guy, and you know, he's a very he operates below the radar, and he's just, I just think what he does is great. And, you know, I'm glad to see that he is growing and he has really taken this real estate application niche and really run with it. And, our friend Paul DeBettings is also, recruiting for him. So he's helping him staff up. So, Yeah, all the best luck to him.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I found interesting in the Business Journal's piece, which will be in the show notes, Kathy Grayson, I believe, wrote it, is that Aaron exited, had a couple of successful exits previously. People may not realize that. I had vaguely heard of one, but I didn't realize he had two. He had sold off two things. Now, at least one of them, maybe both, were just an app, but maybe one was actually a business. I don't know. The other thing that I found interesting is they're setting up, because they ran out of space in on the grain exchange floor, they're setting up on the first floor of the building, which is nice.
It was it's a nice little spot. I mean, if you go in there, it's just, and you're looking at the elevators, it's to the right of the elevators, and kind of go down a little sideways there, and it just laid out very well for them, and I think it's great to see them growing.
Cool. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, and the thing
we talked about that probably, but what was it about? I think a couple of weeks ago, didn't we chat about that? Just sort of mention it in passing.
Yeah, I think so.
Aaron, you mean? Or
yeah, Aaron. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's,
well, now when
and that's happening a lot at Coco. Coco's, they'll get in there, and a small firm will outgrow a Coco space. It, you know, it doesn't work in a campsite anymore, and a lot of times they'll look within the grain exchange building first to see if there's some space available. That's a great building to be in.
It's actually a complex of like three buildings.
Yeah, and MHTA, is set up there as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You know, I heard something interesting that's kind of a wrinkle on this. Is, did you hear about the Spark devices guys, the two co-founders going over to Shenzhen for a 3-month accelerator program?
Yep. No, I didn't hear that.
So they are no longer right now at Coco, but will be back in May. Mm-hmm. And their colleague, Stephanie Rich, who's doing biz dev for them, I met through referral. And so she's kind of holding down the fort at Coco.
Yep.
That's kind of neat for them. They got accepted into this. I think it's the second class of this accelerator program that ostensibly allows them to learn how to do rapid prototyping and manufacturing, like world class stuff.
So. You know, we talked about that a month or so back too, as well. I mean, that was the one disappointment I had with Spark Device and really Pebble and all of those, so many other of these things that are being developed through Kickstarters. You know, we end up sending the stuff over to China, you know, rather than figuring out a way to manufacture it in a cost-effective way here. I don't know if there's necessarily a cost-effective way to do it, but, you know, again, we're outsourcing jobs on an American company is sending jobs overseas, and that always bugs me. So,
well, as well it should.
And, you know, and I know that it was, Zach had talked about that early on, about the offer from this accelerator program. I don't know if it was, well, the Kickstarter campaign was not successful, so we'll take this instead. I think they've always kind of considered doing both of them at the same time.
Yeah, but he did that great post on, you know, just because your Kickstarter failed, you know, that's okay. Yeah. And you learn so much from it, and that. You know, you saw that Mashable. Did we post that last week? It got huge play. You know, just because your Kickstarter project fails, it's okay.
You know? Well, you know, a Kickstarter project is a great way just to market and to you know, publicize your
That's what it is. A lot of it is PR and buzz, you know. Mm-hmm. Say, speaking of the USA thing, though, I think SmartThings got something positive to say about that. As I recall, Ben Edwards talked about their U.S. component in their manufacturing.
Right.
Sorry.
So good on them.
And they're going to start shipping this month, too, so I'm waiting for my boxes to arrive.
Okay, so the question is, what will get to me first, my Pebble watch or my SmartThing?
I'm betting SmartThing.
So do I.
I'm thinking so. I'm never going to see that frickin' Pebble watch.
Yeah, the reviews have been pretty good on it.
Well, yeah, they've been great, but what do I care if I can't put my hands on it?
That's true.
They only shipped like 500 of how many?
Not that you're bitter or anything.
Not at all.
See, if you had a TV show like Stephen Colbert, you could probably, you know, say, hey, where the hell's my Pebble watch? And you get one right away.
You mean You mean Minivate Gang podcast doesn't wield that kind of power?
Not yet. Oh, not yet. God. Yeah.
Damn.
Well, hey, let's talk about our pals at RIM. And the new BlackBerry. Yeah.
You mean BlackBerry?
At BlackBerry. That's right. They're changing the name.
I know. Look over there. It's a new company.
Squirrel. It's a good idea.
Squirrel.
Well, it's a good idea, but it's 2 years too late.
Yeah. No, everything I think is too late for them. And it, from the early reviews of the, the Z10?
Right.
The Z10.
It seems like it's just not that compelling. That it's, if you're a BlackBerry person that needs an upgrade, that's the only scenario that would lead you to adopt it.
Yeah, it's okay. And why are you still on BlackBerry, by the way? You know, that's sort of
yeah. So I don't think it's going to really change anything, but they still have a fairly decent, you know, market share. So, you know, they may be able to grow from there. And kind of, you know, if they innovate fast enough on this new platform, they may be able to carve out that third position. But, you know, with all the money behind Windows 8, I just can't believe that Microsoft is not going to attain that third position just brute force.
It's,
you know?
It's just going to be, it's just sort of a, it's a scrappy little battle just to get to third. It's just, you know, to see,
It's definitely between BlackBerry and Windows though. For
sure. Yeah, definitely. Because they both have that,
enterprise
play.
That's right. This
link, whoever put this in the show notes, to the All Things D, article about the Z10, about how BlackBerry reinvents itself has an interesting matrix at the bottom.
You mean the Z10?
Yeah.
But Thorsten Heinz, who's the
he calls
CEO,
it the Z10.
Well, he's a German guy, so of course he says.
Yeah,
Sprocket. Z10.
They would say that in Canada as well. So
So they have. There's a matrix at the bottom though that shows that device, the Z10, the iPhone 5, Galaxy S3, Lumia 920, and the Nexus 4, and compares them. And I just, you know, you look at this and you just say, wait a minute. There's just, I mean, this doesn't differentiate anything about them at all. I mean, there's just really nothing in here that, you know, from a specs perspective is even halfway compelling. And I think to your point, Tim, I mean, with, you know, iOS, Android, and Windows Mobile, how in the world are they going to get any developers to care?
Yeah, apparently they have something like 75,000 apps, but most of them are crap from what I've read in the reviews. They said there's very few very compelling apps.
Crap and store.
And there's a lot of missing stuff. So there's no Spotify app or RDO or, you know, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of apps that they need to get that are vital apps.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, so, you look at the specs across this, which is a really nice comparison chart. I like it.
It is very well done.
It's a Walt Mossberg story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes to the more detail than anybody, you know?
Well, you know, a lot of times you'll go through a post or an article on comparing devices. And then they're separated into different paragraphs. It's like, well, that didn't help me out much at all. So, Tim's right. It's I can get a new BlackBerry now. That's pretty much it.
And you know, the one with the keyboard, which I think will be more popular,
doesn't
come out for a couple months.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, so this first Z10 iteration, which is the one that looks more like an iPhone, that's not going to appeal to the BlackBerry faithful. So I think they're going to wait until March or April, whenever the one with the keyboard comes out.
Yeah, but that one nice little feature about that Z10 is the keyboard that adjusts to your typing style that gives you a little more room if you've got big, you know, sausage fingers and things like that.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of good ideas.
There's a lot of good ideas in
their new operating system, but there's some bad workflow problems with the email and really with all the messaging, which is kind of shocking because
that's their
core thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently their notification system is just not as good as the other, you know, iOS or Android, solutions. And it continues to drop you into messages instead of just notifying you. of them. So it sounds like there's just using it would be a problem, you know, because a lot of times I just dismiss, you know, notifications, which you can do on Android. But anyway, I was just saying you can dismiss notifications very easily on Android. And I think you can do the same thing on iOS too.
Oh, yeah.
And they're it's not built that way on BlackBerry. So
yeah,
they're going to have to do some tweaks. And it's the first generation of a new operating system. So I'm sure they'll iron all that stuff out. But I don't think they have enough time really to really make much of a dent, but they can certainly shore up their position in the market.
Well, let's see. Anyway, yeah. the Bill Gates 2013 annual letter is out, and it's all about what he's doing at the foundation and
steam engines.
And steam engines.
Well, okay, so they're doing a lot, but he was on what, Daily Show or Colbert, he was on Colbert and he's talking about some of the successes they've had and so forth. And you know, I keep thinking about any good venture capitalist will look at someone's pitch and business plan, and they'll say it's a boil the ocean strategy. And you need to boil a thimble full of seawater first. And I look at this and I think, I mean, this is literally a worldwide global adventure for immunizations and education. And it's just huge. And yes, he's measuring all this stuff, which is great. But oh my God. Of course, you know, if you had multiple billions of dollars and you had Warren Buffett's billions as well, you could probably hire enough people. You could do it. You could have all these different initiatives. But doesn't it seem just enormous? I mean, eradicate extreme poverty and hunger, achieve universal primary education, reduce child mortality, blah, blah, blah. I mean, oh my God, it's huge.
Well, it's good. Good that he's putting his money doing these kind of things.
I know.
You know, a lot of people in that kind of position, they don't do this. And so it's commendable that he's spending much of his money in trying to change the world directly. Yeah.
Well, he can't take it with him. Did you see where Bloomberg came out and said he's going to give all his away before he dies?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you not? I mean, you also solidify your legacy, but, I know sometimes I'll go into libraries in little towns, these beautiful stone buildings and
Carnegie, yeah.
Yeah. And it's all Andrew Carnegie. And I know a lot of people now say, who the hell was Andrew Carnegie? And I'll just
that guy that sponsors all the stuff on PBS.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, and we have our own JJ Hill in St. Paul who built a fine library too.
Yeah.
But he didn't do what Carnegie did. Carnegie did them all over the country.
Yeah. He didn't have his money either.
Yeah, that's true.
But Bill Gates is definitely building his legacy. So,
well, I have to say that this Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation website is very well done.
Very well done.
It's amazing what $1 billion will buy. I've never seen a $1 billion website before, but I'm scrolling through it. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm sure it didn't cost $1 billion, but this was not cheap to do.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure whoever did it build an ocean full of invoices for this. And darn well they should have.
Yeah, and I heard they built it with Commodore Amigas.
Oh. But I'm sure they had to use Windows.
I'm sure.
What CMS they use? We could find out.
It's probably running on some Microsoft stack of some sort.
Oh sure, yeah.
It's running on .NET.
Well, you know what? I have a plugin. I have a plugin for Chrome called Built With. And it profiles technology, so it's running on Microsoft IIS. It's using ASP.NET.
Yep, totally. Calm.
And they've got JavaScript libraries, HTML5. I don't know what and it's mobile ready because they've got viewport in here and so forth. So, but it doesn't show any CMS. So I'm sure it's hand built.
Well, it's running on top of .NET. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's responsive design when you narrow it down. Yep.
Well, speaking of streaming, which we were talking about earlier, there's rumors that HBO Go is going to come to the Apple TV.
Yeah.
And
that's good if you have HBO.
It is good if you have HBO. We do, but I can watch it on my iPad. But I get really bugged at certain apps that you can't stream through AirPlay, you know, like Xfinity and HBO Go. You got to watch them on the iPad. And well, this will be nice.
You have a Roku, right?
Yeah, I have a Roku, but I actually, I gave it away. Gave it to my sister-in-law and brother-in-law.
You retired it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say HBO Go is on Roku, so you can use
that. Oh, it is.
Because you're an Apple TV fanboy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. My wife, I mean, I've done 4 universal remotes in my life, trying to find something that'll help my wife be able to turn the TV on, switch between different things, you know, so she can actually, because she'll come to me. She doesn't watch a lot of TV, and she'll come to me and say, "Now, how do I watch Downton Abbey on the Apple TV?"
But doesn't she have an iPhone?
Yes.
Well, can't you get an app that actually sorts all that stuff out and converts it into a remote control?
Yeah, there is. But we have upstairs we have a little Comcast tuner. We have the Apple TV, and then you have to switch the source in the TV. And she's like, "What do I do?" Because she always wants me to tell her the steps, and I want her to learn how it works. Because if she learns how it works, then you can futz around and find the right settings. So we ultimately, what we want is one box that does everything. I don't think it's going to happen.
Hopefully, Apple TV will develop into it. But the point of the story is, you know, Apple's been very slow to put new channels on Apple TV.
Yeah,
they're all, you know. HBO is not writing this app. Apple is writing this app. So, you know, it's that just doesn't scale. And hopefully in some near term kind of thing, they're going to, you know, update to it. They're going to open it up a little bit anyway for third parties, because I think that would really create the kind of compelling experience that you do get on Roku, because it's just a Wild West over there.
Well, you know? And that's what I was hoping Boxy would be. I really hoped that Boxy would take off, and it never did.
And Google TV, same thing. Android apps run on Google TV.
Right.
And, you know, this hasn't taken off either. So.
Well, this guy that wrote the All Things D piece, Peter Kafka in New York, he asks in this story, why hasn't Apple let 1,000 TV apps bloom?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I get the sense that Tim Cook and company are very particular about the way Apple TV apps look and work down to the pixel. But you can get very serious about quality control and still manage to get more than 9 apps on your box if you want to. What do you think?
Well,
What's going on?
It has to have something to do with the politics of negotiating with the content people. Because that's the only thing that they've got right now is this sort of very controlled walled garden where Android is open, and anyone that wants to write an app can do that and get into the Play Store that shows up on Google TV. And Roku has been from the beginning a Wild West, so you can create anything that you want. And that's the one thing that makes that box compelling, is that there are literally hundreds, if not over 1,000 channels. I think it's something like 800 different channels now. They've got to be in some sort of negotiation quagmire with the content folks. That's the only thing that makes sense. Or this is in fact a side project, and they just don't want to devote a lot of resources to it.
Well, you know, I went to the, because I was going to put a link in the show notes, I just went to the Boxy.tv website, and the Boxy TV box is $99, and you can watch ABC, CBS, CW, Fox, NBC, PBS, and more. You can use your existing cable subscription, or if you get good reception, use a digital antenna that they throw in. And get these channels for free in HD and awesome surround sound. And so I look at that and I say, you know, this is the cord cutter's dream, is to be able to have this stuff. And yet last month, our internet use was 433 gigs. And so I'm waiting for a letter from Comcast to say, oh, you know, by the way, we don't have a cap on right now, but you're using way too much bandwidth. So... Oh, hey, by the way, I need to tell you guys something. And Tim, you in specific. So we've talked a lot in the past about really only having one true broadband provider here. Well, it turns out that CenturyLink has dropped fiber all around Eden Prairie. And a group came by the other night, couple people from actually a third party going around pitching, and they tried to sign people up with DirecTV HD and CenturyLink, but they have 20 megabit per second down and 7 megabit per second up for $46 a month. So there is
an option,
but it's still copper, you know, the coming into the house. They haven't done fiber to the curb. It's only out on the main road, but that's interesting. So yeah, that's pretty good bandwidth. At least there's an option now.
Yeah. And there's always satellite as well.
Oh, what? God, no.
Cut the cord, man.
No.
Cut the cord. You have to have the internet. Come on.
Oh, God, yes. Have to have the internet. So what's the deal on this supposed iPhone Plus? It's really getting a lot of buzz, isn't it? Tim, did you put this link in here?
Because yeah, I did. Because you know, this is Mark Arment, and it does make sense. I mean, if you do the math, and you know, it could
Phil.
Be like
Phil.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it again, this is something that I can't imagine that Apple would do this, but they've surprised us before. So
why is there this rush to get to a 5-inch smartphone? God, it just drives me crazy.
Because they're selling.
It's 4.94 inches. Come on. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, it's not 5. Sorry, you're right.
Come on.
At least with my current iPhone, or even my daughter's iPhone 5, I don't have an iPhone 5 yet. I could still slip it into my nice dress trousers and in the pocket that is, and walk around with it. And a Galaxy S3, when I had Albert Marucci hand me his, I slipped it into my pocket and I almost fell sideways. It was so heavy.
What was that one? What was
Galaxy S3, Samsung Galaxy S3. It was enormous.
I just got another one of those. So both my kids will have Galaxy S3s, and it is a large phone, but you kind of get used to it, and it's very thin. So
okay,
you know, even though on paper 4.7 inches sounds like it's a humongous phone, in practice it's not quite as big as you think. Now the one that really is big is that Galaxy Note, which is like 5.5 inches. That thing is a monster.
That's more like a tablet, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's why they call it a phablet.
Right.
But the good thing about the Galaxy Note, though, is that because the thing is so darn big, it's got a huge battery. So apparently you can use it all the time and it lasts more than a day.
And really? If your car dies, you can jump your battery with it. So.
There you go. Yeah. That's an extra accessory, though. The jumper cable accessory.
Oh, geez.
We're kind of talking phones, though. But, you know, as I told you that I've got my eyes on the HTC M7 that's coming out. So I noticed now there's either rumor or information that they're actually putting out another couple of phones with that M7, which is an M4, which is back down into the size that I like, which is the 4.3 screen. Though it's not as hardy as the specs of the M7, but I'm really looking forward to that coming out. That's supposed to be sometime in February, I think. The 19th, is that right? I can't remember.
Yeah. Say, speaking of buying phones, you saw where Best Buy is going to give you $50 if you buy your next phone there.
Right.
They're buying customers.
Yeah, they're doing some crazy stuff over there. I mean, they had the big sale on the the MacBooks last week.
Mm-hmm. Which ran out really quickly.
Yeah.
Yep. So there.
And now they're discounting all the phones to very low prices. So
try and stay on the screen. You got to stay on the radar.
Yeah. But I don't know about losing money is the way to do that. You know?
Yeah. But if you limit it, it's like a loss leader. Well, it's like having a loss leader on ad. I mean, look at all the buzz they've gotten. Without advertising. I mean, you know, so that's
from this show alone.
From this show alone, that's right.
Do you have a disclosure here, Steve, that you're actually doing some consulting at the big box?
Yeah, right. Yeah. They're going to bring me in to help them with technology.
That's why you're defending their crazy loss leader actions.
No, I just think it's smart. I mean, at least they're trying stuff.
It's more likely they have a crap load of MacBooks and phones, and they know that and they know that there's going to be a refresh coming up, so they got to get rid of them somehow, right?
Oh, you cynic.
Probably what it is.
There could be that.
Oh, geez. Well, hey, I wanted to bring up something else because we're almost ending the show here at the end. I put this in here because I was reading Hacker News, the Y Combinator startup, the guys that can feed this news feed. And there was an article, I'll put a link in the show notes, to Apple Core Rot. And it's a guy's post about what's happening with OS X and how Apple's really dumbing it down. And we've all talked before about how Mac OS and iOS are coming together and merging, and we're seeing the same thing happening with Windows. With Windows 8, it's coming together. And we all know that it's all going to come together at some point. But what's really bothering a lot of people is the fact that what the hell's happening with pros? You know, audio pros, video pros. Okay,
what's a solution to this problem?
Ubuntu?
Its name is Ubuntu.
I actually love Ubuntu, but there's not squat for apps, you know?
Well, there will be if all the major operating systems turn out to be these mobile
consumerish
things for hardcore people. They're going to build the apps that you will see Adobe and Avid and all these companies that make professional tools. They're going to be making stuff for Linux.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if they're not going to run on Windows and Mac OS,
right?
Because we're not going to be running Windows 7 and Mountain Lion in 5 years. You know, some people may, but I can't imagine that.
Well, there's somebody that listens to this show who may comment on this because he and I were having a conversation about it, and I'm going to leave him nameless. But we were talking about this exact thing, and his argument was, hey, you're the one who showed me that FTP app. You can FTP. You can just put something in Dropbox. You can FTP it to your site and blah, blah, blah. And then there are tools that you can open stuff up and modify code on a server, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, the tools are there in iOS. And I said, yeah, but here's the kicker. The kicker is sometimes I'll have 10 apps open at once and I'm clicking between them to grab stuff and move stuff and modify stuff, and I'm doing it all at once. And if I have to do it on the iPad, I'm pulling things up one at a time, doing something and then closing it and then opening up the next app and going back and forth like that. And it's a pain in the ass.
That's why you should get Android, because you can do all of that. You know, you can have 10 apps open.
No.
Actually, I think it's 8 apps.
Yeah. Anyway. I you can have that many open too with,
and they're all running. I mean, it's not as, the memory protection is not quite as severe as it is on the iOS side.
But I'm looking at my iMac screen right now, my 27-inch iMac, and I've got Chrome open with about 10 tabs. I've got Logic running in the background recording the show. I've got screen sharing app open because I'm running you guys on Skype on another machine. I got Photoshop open, you know, blah, blah, blah. And if I want to do a screen...
Activity monitor is tracking everything?
It is. No. But my point is that, you know, if I want to do a quick screen grab and then save it and modify it and then publish it on WordPress, you know, it takes me a minute on a machine, and it might take me 5 to 10 minutes on the iPad. And I think that's what people are really concerned about when they see both Microsoft and Apple, especially Apple because of the creative side, but moving toward this future of essentially, less robust capability and more... not really dumbing it down, but making it more streamlined. So
mainstream.
Yeah.
It's the pros, the truck drivers, as Steve Jobs and Tim Cook have referred to them. They can't forget about the guys who need trucks, you know.
Yeah.
When most of us drive cars, but there's still a hell of a lot of really important work being done out there where they need the big, big, powerful machines and OSs to handle it. You know,
Apple must be up to something on the pro end because they're going to withdraw the Mac Pro from Europe and starting the 1st of March.
Yeah, I saw that. What was the deal on that?
So there are some EU regulations and the fan guards around the fans inside the Mac Pro don't meet that specification. So instead of like doing a modification to the Mac Pro, Apple said that they're not going to sell it anymore.
Oh.
And they have said that they're working on something for the professional market. Spring.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's that, you know, it's coming out very, very soon, a revised Mac Pro or something that takes up that space. But that's sort of interesting that they would just exit the market.
Yeah, you wouldn't think they'd want to do that for too long. You wonder, will it be June at WWDC when they announce them? It'd probably be before that, you would think.
Yeah, they always have some sort of a announcement in February, March timeframe anyway. It used to be the iPad, but I can't imagine them doing anything with the iPad for at least another year. I mean, they just did the memory upgrade, which I think they press released it, but they didn't have an event for it. But so maybe they'll have some refreshed Macs this spring.
Well, do you remember Avi? Part of that. You remember Avi Tavanian? He was at Next with Steve Jobs, and then he came over and he was the senior VP of software engineering at Apple, and then they made him chief technology officer and all that. And he and another guy whose name escapes me that was the head of OS X specifically, both left around the same time, and people were sort of taken aback. But there was a lot of undercurrent of buzz saying that he left because of the direction that OS X was going, and he didn't agree with it, so he just bailed.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah, yeah. That it was going to become more consumer focused, and you know it is hard to argue with because if you look at sales of Mac Pro or sales of Mac Minis, and sales of software overall, some of these more expensive tools. It is going down. I mean, it is, you know, the numbers are declining, and we saw Mac sales even year over year not grow very fast, and iPads are growing like mad. So it's hard to argue with where the focus should be, but boy, I don't want to lose the capability to do serious work. So
there will always be Linux.
There will always be Linux.
There you go.
Well, before we end here, I want to wish happy birthday to CodeMorphic CEO Bill Heyman.
Yeah.
It's his birthday today. All right, Bill. And I did not know that until Facebook and Skype both told me.
And we understand that Bill has seen his shadow, so. Yeah,
that's right.
Wish the best for him, though. He is one heck of a great guy, and
yeah,
just no an kidding. Amazing developer. That guy is like a machine, you know. He's one of the developers I hold in the highest regard in this town for sure.
Yep.
And he is. I talked to him. Was talking with him last week, and it sounds like life is returning to normal for him as he's
That's great.
I believe he's in Washington right now. He was part of that test program, that trial for the new treatment for his melanoma. And it's
what is he out at Johns Hopkins or something?
I believe so. I believe so.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's where he was.
And he's in the midst of getting some more results, and hopefully everything's tracking along well. And his wife seems to be recovering as well. So, nothing but the best for that family. So.
Yeah, really. They're great people. They really are. Awesome.
So our buddy Phil is going to be on a panel about podcasting at the Java meetup.
Yep. It's coming up on Thursday. He's going to join Pamela Muldoon and Megan Wilker. Excuse me, Wilker from she's Clockwork, I believe. So Sweet. We're going to talk a little bit about podcasting, its power and its influence.
There you go. Wow.
So hopefully theirs has some power and influence.
Yes.
Bottom line.
You're right. You're just going to be talking about podcasting.
I was just talking about podcasting. They'll cover the power and the influence.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And Mobile March is, check out the agenda that's now posted on.
Finally. Jeez.
What do you mean finally? I told you it was going to be up earlier this week. So there it is. And we still have a few holes that we're filling in. Look for those updates soon. And tickets are still available.
And the I.O. Festival is happening.
which Graham in June says he doesn't want to afford.
Well, you know, I wanted to go last year, and it,
$575 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's a hell of a festival.
Yeah,
yeah. It does go over 3 days, so you could say, well, it's less than $200 a day. But yeah, I'm told by our buddy Robert Stevens, who went last year, that it's really, really top designers and really top people that attend this thing. And he said, in his opinion, it's the best event held in Minneapolis.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Just because of the quality of the people it draws. But you know, they're rich people.
Can we use our podcasting power and influence to get free passes to that?
I tried.
Oh, really?
I put in a request. Crickets.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were looking for the tech surf blog, and it wasn't there.
It wasn't there.
They said, this guy's not even a blogger.
This guy's dead on the internet. What the hell? Oh, I purposely left that domain out of my email signature. Oh my
God. Well, if you guys stop smoking now, you could save $130 a month, you could afford to go, because it's not until June.
Wait a minute, don't smoke. So I'd have to start smoking and then stop.
Then quit. That's right, to save money.
I'm lost.
I know.
I don't have right. business strategies anymore.
I know. It's okay, Phil. It's all right.
All right.
Well.
There you go. Who's going to say the tagline? I'll say it. How about, that's going to do it for us this week. We'll see you next week on
the Minivate Gang Podcast. That was so good. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Why do you treat me so mean? You know me through and through. I know I'm stuck with you, but honey, I can pick and choose when you're in trouble.